Welcome to Live's a Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is... Spider Wife.
Spider Wife?
Yeah.
That's a rom-com.
Yeah, that's a rom-com. That title given to us by Frank Margarella. Thanks, Frank.
Okay.
I'm all right. Scared.
Yeah.
Spider Wife.
Spider Wife.
Is that like... Oh, well, I mean, never mind.
We'll leave it till later, shall we?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, with us this week to pitch some rom-com movies, that voice you hear is Katie Lister.
Hello.
Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Yeah.
We're all giggly, as we always get excited when Katie gets here for the show.
I have that effect on people.
Yeah,
it's been a good 25 weeks since you were last on. I think you were on the 100th episode.
I'm not surprised you've been counting.
Yeah, no.
God, when's she going to agree to come back on?
Well, after the 100th episode took 8 hours to record, you know.
Hey. I have to say, I did have to take a bit of a break. That was pretty intense.
Like, they're not going to drive me back to another quiz again, are they? A quiz that Tom vastly underestimated how long it would take. Welcome back, Katie.
Thank you.
So,
I think I've calmed down now. No, I haven't.
Rom-com titles. You like rom-com films, I assume, because of your gender.
Disgraceful. What an insane assumption. Yeah, they're alright.
They're alright, aren't they?
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, they're not documentaries, so I'm probably not interested.
I knew how you felt about rom-coms, so I was like, you'd be perfect for this episode.
Yeah, they're alright.
They're alright.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, rom-coms for me are absolutely not the kind of film I would ever choose to watch, but for some reason have done.
Yeah. I guess. I know what you mean. Sometimes I occasionally choose to watch The Holiday.
Who's that?
Who's The Holiday?
Yeah.
No, The Holiday is the one with Jack Black, Kate Winslet, Jude Law, Cameron Diaz. Mm. Where Kate Winslet and Cameron Diaz swap houses.
Yeah.
She lives in LA. Cameron Diaz lives in LA. Kate Winslet lives in rural England.
I've seen that.
Mm. And Cameron Diaz can't cry. And then she does because she loves him so much.
I've seen that. How have I seen that?
I forgot about that bit. That's a ridiculous
stupid
backstory.
Point. Yeah.
We need this. This character seems a little bit one-dimensional. Can we?
Can we add a gimmick, even more please? One-dimensional, please?
can we add a gimmick? That's basically a dimension.
Yeah, let's get on with some honourable mentions, shall we? Honourable mentions, we asked people to give us titles for rom-com films on our Facebook and Twitter. That's facebook.com/Life's a Pitch podcast and Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show. So yeah, if you want to give us titles, just give us a follow or a like on there and give us your titles. We post on Fridays, the genre.
Every Friday, just about.
Right. Okay, so we've got one from Ross Originals, and that's Hoarding My Heart Away.
Ooh.
Oh.
Okay, what did you think for this one?
Just kind of sounded a little bit sad then for a second.
Yeah,
don't
well...
you hear that? You sort of think, like, lonely old man.
Hoarding my heart away. Sort of sounds like a Michael Jackson song as well, at some points.
Definitely a ballad.
Hoarding my heart away.
There you go. Yep. That's it backwards.
Wow.
That's actually us playing Billie Jean backwards.
Did you not ever hear Michael Jackson sound. Talk? That's what he sounded like.
Spot the Doppler effect.
It's like a weird high-pitched Ewok.
Michael Jackson sounds like the Doppler effect.
Yep, yep.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. So yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, Holding My Heart. I think it's one of those, you know, the old people rom-coms.
Yeah.
Old people, okay, yeah.
You know, did instantly sort of think of an old person.
Yeah.
When like you said that.
Prestwick or whatever that one's called at the moment.
Hamstead.
Hamstead, that's it.
Prestwick! We all know that part of London. Prestwick.
Yeah. You know. Prestwick.
Yeah, like Brendan Gleeson and Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
In it. Yeah, so Holding My Heart Away is...
I mean, I'll be honest, it's in the same promo as The Book of Henry, so I'm not going to go and see it.
No. But I'm thinking Old Man Hopkins, Anthony right. Hopkins, he's a hoarder. He's got books... newspapers from like ranging all the way back to the 70s when he bought his first one. He's like, right, I'm going to keep buying these, keep them. And you never know when they're going to come in handy.
And he's encouraged by his daughter to leave the house and go start walking in the countryside.
Yeah.
And he always brings back a rock because, you know, might be useful later. He meets...
Taylor Swift.
Oh, come on.
He meets Taylor Swift, right, who is also a witch.
What? A witch who works at a cat sanctuary.
Right. Katie, do you know what's happening?
Where's this going? Only black cats with red eyes.
Yep.
Yeah, she's got a cauldron going for some reason.
Actual witch.
I want to say they like bump into each other and at first she casts a spell on Old Man Hopkins.
Well, it, like,
to make him...
She's like, what's wrong with you? Because he looks sad all the time because he's lonely because his wife died years ago and stuff, and like his daughter won't talk to him because he's hoarding all these newspapers. And he's like, I'm just so lonely.
And so she casts a spell on him.
I thought a joke was coming.
She casts a spell on him
again,
which gives him a second head. Played by Sir Ian McKellen. Now you'll never be lonely. Okay. She says, do you know, I know a spell, says Taylor Swift, I know a spell which could mean that you're never lonely again.
He's like, please, I just want this spell.
All you have to give me is your heart.
So he's like, right. He reaches into his chest, pulls his heart out, gives it to us, like, anything.
For a friend.
Just someone.
And
please.
So out of the place where he ripped his heart out, grows the head of Ian McKellen. Sir Ian McKellen.
Sort of lodged into his chest is Ian McKellen.
And he screams, I am Graham! Nice to meet you.
It's a love story between him and his
chest head.
Chest Graham.
Didn't start like that.
This is where it's going.
And Anthony Hopkins looked back, and Taylor Swift's gone.
Hmm.
And he heads on home, and the two are getting on famously. They're recounting old tales. Ian McKellen, Graham, seems to have had quite a similar life to Anthony Hopkins. Rejected by society. You know, he had his passions, but never... Nobody seemed to share them with him.
Collecting Reader's Digests. That's what he did.
And, well, that and, you know, passion for animals. And everyone was just like, what the hell? It's too much. And, you know, they get on really, really well until you know, Graham convinces Anthony Hopkins, Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Graham and just Sir Anthony Hopkins.
to start clearing up his house. Because he's less lonely, he starts to get over his hoarding problem. Mm. But then when they discover, upon lifting a pile of newspapers, that there's a dead cat underneath this pile of newspapers, Graham starts screaming and crying.
This is a fucking nightmare.
And crawls out of Anthony Hopkins' chest. And as he hits the floor, crying in a puddle on the floor, you see that it wasn't Graham all along, it was Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift had bonded with Anthony Hopkins all this time.
Because they're both
rejects from society.
They're both so lonely. Yeah. And then Anthony Hopkins lays, it's all right. We'll just have to kiss now.
Anthony Hopkins helps bury the dead cat. Give it a proper send-off.
Yeah. A Viking... No, not a...
Not a Viking funeral.
No, not a burial and Viking funeral. Put it in a little cardboard box, send it down the river, fire a burning arrow at it.
And so they sort of... They share their mourning, you know. I don't know what Anthony Hopkins is mourning, because he's lost his wife.
Mm.
And Taylor Swift... Who is... I mean, we're saying she's old because she's a witch.
Yeah.
But she doesn't look it.
No, no.
We haven't put any prosthetics on her or anything.
No, no.
We just say that she's... 59 years old.
Wow.
I was thinking for 400, I thought it was a bit over the top.
No, it's more normal for it to be 400 years old than look 29 than 59 and look 29.
Yeah. That's why we're going for 59.
Actually, what was normal about anything that just happened?
Yeah, yeah.
59's fine.
It's a funny romp. It's a romantic comedy. Makes you go, oh, look. It's really funny what happens in that film.
Laughing all the way to the psychotic brain ward.
Why do I feel like you don't appreciate the genius of that one, Tom?
What I want to know is, what was the puddle on...
No, it was, that was a metaphor.
What came out?
That's what you want to know?
That was a metaphor.
Oh, it
was
actually...
of Taylor Swift, like, being unable to hold herself up.
Ian McKellen crawls out of his body, turns into Taylor Swift, and you want to know what the puddle's all about.
It was a figure of speech.
Oh, yeah, so they end up...
Right, everything else was just really literal.
Yeah, lovely romantic comedy there.
Oh, he's come
down.
Wow,
that was
holding my heart away.
Oh yeah, she gives him back his heart.
Oh,
that was the thing. Like,
because he starts to
realise that, I don't know, he's gonna die because this witch has his heart. And he starts to come to terms with the fact that he's going to die.
Yeah.
And then, you know...
That's the test she was giving to him.
Yeah, when she finds the dead cat, it's a reminder that she experiences mortality as well.
Yeah.
Through her cats. So if he died and she likes him...
Yeah.
Then she would have to mourn him as she'd have to mourn this cat. And then, yeah. It all works really well. It's a good film.
it's a sort of genre crossover that's not really done much. Rom-com body horror.
It's like if Jeff Goldblum fell in love with that fly.
In The Fly.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Should we do one more before we move on to Spider-Wife?
Yeah. I think we might need more, but it's fine.
We've got when Matt met Tom, deleted scenes.
Just that one. Oh no, we've got the DreamWorks guy. One. We haven't really done one that's a proper rom-com yet.
And I'm liking the way this is going.
Let's try this.
We never do. Exactly. We always end up with a conspiracy theory or whatever. We start with the genre as a basis and then just work around. Basically just
Limoncello was actually a rom-com.
Yeah, it was good, but like... funnier.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that we ended up just pitching a body horror. Clearly we're not in a rom-com mood today.
Apparently not.
So, we've got one from Brandon Mills, and that is, Orange, you glad I didn't say banana? Orange, you glad I didn't say banana?
Establishing shot, Katie.
Establishing shot... the playground. In on a mountain.
The playground.
That's
on a mountain.
That's exactly where it is.
So I'm thinking this is like in the Himalayas somewhere.
Okay.
Like we're looking at like a beautiful mountain range, like you might see in a film.
One of those films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you might have seen in a Doctor Strange.
Or the Paramount logo.
Or the Paramount logo. Yeah. And on top, it nestled in, like on a spine of one of the mountains, is this playground.
Hmm.
It's got a basketball court. It's beautiful. Climbing frame. Hula hoops.
Yeah.
Both the crisps and the playground toy.
Yep.
Skipping rope.
Yep. What's happening in this playground?
We know what's there.
Lots of balls.
Yeah, no, what's happening in this fucking playground?
Football net.
What's it called? Orange, you glad I didn't say banana?
So...
children.
Brad Orange.
Played by Brad Pitt.
Played by Brad Pitt.
Wait, no, he's got to be called... he's got to be... Brad...
Pith.
Plum? What are the ones that got pits? Apricots.
Brad Apricot. Pits.
What? A stone in the middle is called a pit.
Yeah. Right?
There's one of them. There's a fruit.
Brad Cherry.
Brad Cherry, that's it.
That's a good one.
Brad Cherry.
Brad Cherry, nice to meet you. That's my Brad Pitt impression.
Brad Cherry,
nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Brad Cherry.
And so he's... right, so he's in there, and he's... what is his teacher?
No, he's just a man.
Just a man.
It's not... there's no one really knows.
Why is he, hanging out in a playground?
Exactly.
Where is this film going, Katie? It's just so
rom-com. It's rom-com.
In the vein of a Woody Allen rom-com.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Brad Cherry is...
Brad Cherry hangs out at a playground and no one knows why.
He's actually part of the equipment.
I know why. I know why. He's come to deliver fruit.
Yeah, he delivers
to the
fruit.
Kids.
He's instead, like, as a push for healthy eating, there's no more ice cream men, there's fruit men.
Well, in the Himalayas. It's all about the fruit, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, the fruit man.
The fruit that grows from the snow.
And there's a lady teacher.
Played by,
Jennifer Lawrence.
Who? Can we not have someone from an Asian country, please?
No. If Hollywood rules are anything to go by, Ming-Na Wen.
She'd make a good teacher.
Yeah. Ming-Na Wen plays a teacher who... Brad Cherry,
nobody knows why he's there.
He's there to get the affections of Ming-Na Wen, clearly.
Do you reckon he's just seen Ming-Na Wen? Because that's a bit creepy. To establish a life as a fruit seller just to get the affections of Ming-Na Wen.
He's come this far into the Himalayas to seek a woman.
A woman.
A woman.
Only no, the best women are found.
See, okay, the cornerstone of a romantic comedy, I've decided, is high stakes in a social context, right? So, Meet the Parents, for instance.
Yeah.
High stakes in a social context. If you do something wrong, there are repercussions.
Yeah.
So, we've got to now come up with a society in the Himalayas, thanks, Katie, who are really, really... It's like being in downtown New York.
I mean, you were the one that made it the Himalayas. You could have picked, like, Ben Nevis, so we could have got a bit closer to home.
Yeah,
screw that.
This is a challenge.
What playground do you find on top of a mountain in Scotland?
The playground of a school that wants to breed soldiers.
All right, if you want. It's still Ming Na Wen and Brad Pitt and Brad Cherry.
Yeah,
he's selling fruit.
He's selling fruit.
He's like, hey, I'm Brad Cherry. I serve fruit to the children.
Yeah, I know.
You do this every day, Brad Cherry. She's got a Scottish accent as well.
Don't see you. Well, this is terrible. I usually have an alright Scottish accent.
It's like it's you doing a Ming Na Wen doing a Scottish accent. Yeah, it's
Do they think I don't see you trying to flash your kilt at me? Brad Cherry.
Also, have you got any deals on bananas?
Whoa! He's like, whoa! He says, whoa!
No!
That's a bit much for this time in the morning!
Wouldn't you like to see my oranges instead?
Little unbeknownst. What's that phrase?
Little
unbeknownst to her. One peel of the orange would detonate.
Wow. The stakes just got higher. With what, like four words?
So, like, all these children are sleeper agents. So, like...
This is the classic Liz to left turn. Here we go. Go on.
In fact, it's not the first peel, it's the last peel.
Okay, when you take the last
so
bit of orange
off the
orange.
You can get all the way, you can do 98% of the peel.
Yeah.
Pith doesn't count. But that last
just
one...
Just listen, listeners, just make sure you remember that. Pith doesn't count in this, right?
But on completion of the peel, the sleeper agent children will be activated.
Right, I get it. They've been sort of programmed by the secret state of Scotland, the secret police state of Scotland. There's breeding soldiers up on this hill.
This has been a ride. Go on, I want to know, guys. I'm taking my hands off the wheel here with you guys. He seems to be on the roll.
So, right, what's the name of the orange you said? Glad I didn't say banana.
Yeah, orange.
Why is it the orange?
So,
not the banana.
Yeah, you would think it would be the banana. Should we change it? To
no.
No, too late now. Too late now.
We'll keep it with orange.
Okay. So, in that case, we're going to need these children. We're going to need these soldier children. So, because...
What?
To fight off the invasion.
What?
The English.
This has been set up.
The English, you idiot.
When is this set?
In a minute.
Great answer.
After post Brexit, this is the precautionary thing in case they have to try and secede from the UK.
Mm.
And of course they do. During the course of this, they secede from Scotland secedes from the UK, and the UK starts sending troops up. They're like, we're gonna take back what's ours, Scotland. You shit.
So all these kids and sleeper agents.
Yeah.
So, rom-com.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't wait. What I'm trying to figure out is who's in on it. I think they're both in on it.
All the other teachers at this school.
This is like a romance thriller.
All the other teachers at this school. All weirdly military. They sort of like. There's kind of a military strictness to the school that no one could. That Ming Na Wen can't quite figure out. The thing is, she's the best history teacher around. You know, she's amazing at teaching history. So they got her in. And she was like, this is weird. Everyone, like, the PE is it's half of the day? I don't get it, but there we are. There's this fruit seller that comes by, but they never. He never has oranges. And she's like, I'm craving oranges, Brad Cherry. Why don't you ever bring oranges to
I'm craving oranges, Brad Cherry. Do the voice.
I'm craving oranges, Brad Cherry. Why do you never bring oranges to the school? He says, ah, well, you know, Mrs. What's her name?
Na Wen.
I know, but, like, what's the character name?
Oh, Mrs. Scots Lady.
Mrs. Scots Lady.
Ah, well, you know, Mrs. Scots Lady. They keep telling me that I can't bring them. I've got loads at home. The shipment just comes in with all the fruits, and I'm just not allowed to bring them to the school.
Yeah. Orange, you're glad I didn't say banana. That's just thrown in there.
Oh, no, that's got to be the end.
No.
That's got to be at the end. So
That's going to be our ending of Some Like It Hot. our Nobody's Perfect.
Every day. Line. Yep. That's a great line. Every day she asks him what he's got in his fruit bag. And he's like, today!
In a weird innuendo kind
I've got
of way,
banana! Because just... it's this weird sort of like innuendo way.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, I've got banana in my fruit bag! And he opens it.
Each other.
Fruit bag. She's like, oh, no oranges then. Every day. And this
How
goes.
How do you know?
There's a montage and this happens the same 10 or 11 times.
Great montage.
exactly the same
scene.
Just cut from different angles.
We actually filmed it with that thing that they used in The Matrix to go round them.
Some bullet-timed montage scene.
Yeah, but we just filmed it all from the same, from all those angles. We just watch it from each individual angle.
Right, okay, we've got to wrap this up now. This is long.
So anyway, as the... there's a whole thing where the establishment start coming down on her for trying for flirting too much with the fruit seller.
Yeah,
and then
he's a simple fruit seller. She's high class Scottish history teacher.
Yeah,
and, that's the thing.
Yeah, and well, it's school time. You're allowed to do it. Yeah. And then
it's got to be a bit of like not. One's a bit too good, the other one, they can't. So these social...
Two worlds could never meet.
Exactly.
So I've made a Manhattan scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then one day she says, you know...
A fruit seller in Scotland kind of deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you come in to... for a history lesson and a cup of tea. And so he's like, all right. And then she talks to him and she says, I think you should bring oranges in. Forget the establishment. If it goes wrong, it's on me. Bring an orange tomorrow. You won't regret it. At the same time, England invades.
And... they kiss.
And then
inject a small amount of romance.
Kiss a bit, yeah.
The kids are activated.
No, they kiss. England invades.
Hmm.
And then, but then England are already there. It's too late. They can't activate the kids. There's no oranges on site.
He's got to run home.
But then, like the next day, so this is happening the next day when he's in there. The English are coming up the hill behind him, and they're there saying like, "Don't try anything funny, you Scottish idiots." And
who's the English guy? James McAvoy.
Catherine Tate. Don't try anything funny, you Scottish idiots, she says. And she's got a rifle, and they're all like, oh no, we wouldn't try anything funny. This is just bringing the fruit to us. This lovely man bringing the fruit to us. And she says, oh, you'll love this, Catherine Tate's character. Oh, Mr. Cherry, what do you have in your fruit bag today? He says, well then, I've got some oranges. Orange, you're glad I didn't say banana. And then he peels off the last bit of orange.
And all the kids go mental. Yeah, they go flying.
And it's like the end of Logan.
They tear apart Catherine Tate. Yeah. Only been introduced in the last 5 minutes of the film.
And there's probably a subplot back further on where they're threatening.
No, I'm liking the idea that Catherine Tate introduces herself as the antagonist 5 minutes before the end and then gets ripped to shreds by children.
I'm so good at writing films.
Wow.
So yeah, that was... Aren't you glad I didn't say banana?
I got it in there! I didn't see you two chumps coming up with an actual way of having that in conversation.
I mean, where else were we going to go with that, really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, where else were we going to go with that? Child soldiers, sleeper agents...
I mean, it's pretty obvious by the title.
Yeah. I'm also loving the hashtag... hashtag Lister Left Turn.
So if you want to talk about this this podcast, guys, make sure you hashtag Lister Left Turn.
Yeah, that's a thing we'll do.
Go back through, and I'm for once I'm being actually serious. Go back and listen to Katie's episodes.
We've got a playlist.
We've got a playlist with Katie. Yeah,
Katie's episodes. So
unfortunately, if you point the microphone metaphorically, because it's in the middle of us, in my direction for long enough, my brain will go in strange ways, which is why those first ones where we did solo pitches.
Yeah,
it's absolutely amazing. It's like how a teen comedy can turn into bombing Red Square.
I remember that. That was. Was that episode 4? I think it was Game Set and Hatch, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, Game Set and Hatch, where I got to pitch an animated film about chickens. And Katie pitched Chump's Change, I think it was.
Chump's Change.
Change, where the guy, what was his name? Tom, the guy who played Neville Longbottom from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Got hooked into a communist revolution, terror mission by
Mads Mikkelsen,
his history teacher. God, I still remember that.
Wow, that was a good one.
It was a great one. This is why people should go and listen to the Katie playlist. The sound quality takes a hit, I'll be honest with you, but
still good episodes.
The storytelling quality does not.
So yeah, shall I go through all the other ones we didn't get time to go through?
Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, so from Ed Crawley, I've got two written down here. The Dangerous Allure of Matthew McConaughey.
He's a bit scary. Yeah.
We've also got from Ed Crawley, Bunkmates, The Love Affair in Cell Block C.
Saucy.
Saucy prison romance. From Podcast No Aim, we've got Mine Handy.
don't like that.
From
Mine Handy is my mobile phone in German.
Oh, cool. From Lewis at LouG999 on Twitter, love at 50,000 feet.
Is it a race of bird people? It's a rom com and a race of bird people.
Right, not theory, but no. Sort of like we take over. What evidently people have agendas behind these titles. That was evidently like a Mile High Club thing.
Yeah,
I bet Lewis was not expecting bird people.
It's a hot air balloonist meets a bird, race of bird people, and falls hopelessly in love.
There we go.
It's like a steampunk rom com.
From Joe Newbery, we had Two Sheaves and the Sword.
Is that a sexual innuendo?
I think so. It's a fantasy innuendo thing, I reckon.
Oh my.
For a threesome.
Or just a man indecisive about how he wants to look when going into battle.
Yeah, maybe. Probably. I don't know. We've got one here from Dwatajig. Lost in the Louvre.
Lost in the Louvre. Yeah. I like that.
I'm liking the idea of maybe the Mona Lisa and like the Statue of David going on a date through Monet's paintings.
Yes, and yeah. and the whole like rom-com of it is they keep getting caught in compromising positions in other people's paintings.
It's like Toy Story, but with paintings.
Yeah. Lost in the Roof.
Why did we pitch that? From Charlie Gascoigne, we've got Sex Temporizing and the City.
Sex Temporizing.
I'm going to look that up.
I think, well, extemporizing is improvising. It's like, if something's extemporaneous, it means it's not been planned.
Right.
So, sex temporizing, I assume, is like music. Improvised sex.
Yep, should have gathered that.
It's sex.
I didn't do improv with Charlie. Yep.
Sex, but you're making it up as you go along.
Yep. Yeah,
which, so is there any other way to do it?
No. You make it up as you go along. I mean, it'd be weird if it was like planned out.
It is completely anatomically different every time you do it.
Right. Sex.
Sex with me is like body horror.
Clearly.
My idea of a
rom-com. It'd be quite funny if you didn't put that one in the episode, and it was just me going, clearly sex with you is body horror, Matt.
Yeah, we know.
Everyone who's
telling me something I don't know.
Everyone who's ever had sex with you, Matt, knows that it's like body horror.
Wow. What an admission.
Usually someone crawls out of a hole in a chest.
So, thanks everyone for their titles. Again, if you want to give us titles any time of the week, go to facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast and Twitter @ Life's a Pitch Show as well.
Yes. Of course, you can always come to soundcloud.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast to find out, well, chiefly... Go and do what we said before. Go and listen to Katie's playlist.
Mm.
It's going to be a great time. Well worth whiling that your wasted time away.
How many,
listening to?
I think we've got like
those
30 tracks on there or something. You're I think you're our most frequent guest.
And that's saying something because Dave has been on every month for the last like.
Yeah.
6 months.
Yeah. So you.
Wow. I need to get a life.
I remember you can find us at iTunes, Acast, and everywhere else you can find a podcast or plug in an RSS feed apart from Spotify, because Spotify are shitbags. Remember, if you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast, where we have all sorts of extras and bonus stuff. And in fact, from 2 weeks ago, you can find a bonus pitch absolutely free. It's over there. You just go over to patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast and it'll be waiting there for you.
Just giving you a little taster of what you could get if you want to give us your money.
Yes, if you back us on Patreon, if you help us out each month, we will, in fact, each week you'll get an extra pitch just coming straight to your door. Well, it's not to your door, but to your internet. Facsimile of a door, and it will it'll give you a little bit of bonus material.
Yeah, a bit of bonus material. Also, if you pledge just $1 a month, you can have a say on which genre we do as well.
Yeah, we do a poll every week, so you can help decide what kind of films. If you in the future are like, they should never do rom-coms again, this was terrible, then...
You can vote.
You can vote against it.
Wonderful,
veto it.
Wonderful democracy.
Wonderful democracy.
Yes.
But yes, this whole show is brought to you with the help of our patrons.
They are Ross Originals, Joe Hegarty, My Waste of Talent, and Brandon Mills. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Okay, should we get onto the main pitch?
Yes, so from Frank Margarella, we had Spider Wife.
Spider Wife.
I love saying Spider Wife.
Spider Wife. Spider-wife!
Spider-wife.
I, for listeners, I have written on my arm since the start of this show nothing but spy-da-dash-wife.
I don't know what it means. I've had the whole show to look at that.
It's also not what Frank's written.
No.
So, spider wife.
But it could be.
How are we starting this one, Katie? Establishing shot.
I'm surprised. This is how they all start, right? Establishing shot. Clouds move apart upon a night sky as we cascade to. As you can tell, it's just all mental filler. A cascade to the scene of a bakery in the small town of Le France.
So right. Welcome, and someone comes out of the front door of this. Oh, is it nighttime?
Nighttime. It's a nighttime bakery.
We zoom down to the ground. A horse and cart pulls up into the town, and someone bursts out of a crowded, what sounds like a crowded building with the lights, cozy lights inside, and says, "Welcome to."
It's Tom Hanks.
This beautiful town will be your new home. Brendan Fraser's character.
Brendan Fraser playing El Pomp.
El Pomp.
El
and,
Pomp.
Brendan Fraser, curly wig.
Yeah. Is this
long
sort of
stockings?
Revolution with, era France.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, apparently.
Beauty and the Beast era France.
Yes. Yeah. So pre-revolution France.
Yeah.
So he's called El Pomp.
El Pomp.
And he steps out in his long sock stockings, tiny black shoes, like baggy pantaloons down to his kind of calves, and then sort of steps down out of the thing, and the camera pans up, and there's Brendan Fraser in a curly white wig with powdered white face and a drawn on beauty spot.
I've already got a plot for this.
Go for it.
Yeah. So he's like, he's drawn the town together, you know, like a kind of Gaston kind of thing in the tavern, just like, "Hello there, citizens of..."
John Malkovich.
It's Brendan Fraser doing his John Malkovich impression.
Okay.
Well, John Malkovich is like the old man in the town, the mayor. He's like, "Welcome to our town." This is just French walking.
You should just keep doing the one that you were doing before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that was basically Brendan Fraser doing John Malkovich.
"Welcome to our town, El Pomp. I am Monsieur Circumstance."
This is Tom Hanks.
Yeah, why not?
No, I'm saying...
I thought it was...
Brendan Fraser is El Pomp. He's stepping out.
Yeah. But this is Monsieur Circumstance.
Yeah, so who is this? The guy's come out and said,
"This is John Malkovich, the mayor."
Oh, right. I thought that was Brendan Fraser speaking. Sorry.
No. Yeah, it's confusing. They're both doing a terrible French accent. Even John Malkovich is doing a terrible French accent. And he's like, "Welcome to our town. You are very well known in these parts of France
for having very much money and very few scruples."
Yes, and El Pomp's like, he's just doing a Brendan Fraser voice, really. He's just going, "Well, I'm here for the women. I've heard the women are great here.
I'm here for the women. I've heard the women are great here.
Yeah.
Hey." And he wires his eyebrows into the air, like, there are women at the windows, and he's like, "Hey."
"Hey."
And he wires his eyebrows up and down.
So, yeah, he gets there, opens, like, lives at his mansion house, well, goes straight to this bakery, where he finds his first lady.
Who's that played by, Katie?
Amanda...
Bynes.
Amanda Bynes.
Yeah. Why not?
And he's like, "Hello, Madame Bynes. Mademoiselle Bynes. he's doing a Brendan Fraser accent again. I keep forgetting. Hey, Mademoiselle Bynes, well, you want to go on a date with me? And she's like, sure, yeah. And he's like, oh my God, your vase is all right looking, your but your voice is hideous.
Your face is a vision, but your voice is like the third level of hell.
I cannot date you. I cannot. And so he goes to the next woman the next day, like he opens, this is starting to sound like a joke. he goes back to his mansion house, like where he sat lonely, like wanting a wife, because as the opening of Pride and Prejudice goes, it is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife. Right, that's
now
that's...
do it like you're not reading.
Fuck you. No.
Can I get it?
No, forget it. That line, that whole thing, he's in want of a wife because he's in possession of a good fortune because he's owning this mansion house. And
So he's going through the town on the second day, and he's been like, Hey, how's it going? Hey. And
his fingers, jazz music's like playing.
Swooning and go, oh my goodness. Oh, El Pump, you have stolen my heart. And then he sees like someone drift through the crowd, like, you know, with a hood up, but he sees her face for a second and he's like, that's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen.
And John Malkovich, Shana, the mayor appears behind him. He's like, really? No, it cannot be. It is the eight-eyed woman of now. Like, I didn't know she had eight eyes. That's amazing.
Where are the other six? he's characteristic eye waggle.
But she disappears. Like, no one knows where she lives.
Yeah.
No one knows where she lives. So he keeps on dating, like, women and stuff. Emma Stone, he dates for a bit, finds out she can't dance very well. Yeah. So he's like, you cannot dance very well.
Not in that day.
It's a whole... Nah. She's got money. She's beautiful.
Mm.
She can sing. There's a question mark on that, because La La Land proved anything. It's that Emma Stone can sing.
maybe.
Pretty much, she can pretty much sing.
Yeah.
Right. So she's beautiful. She's got money. She can pretty much sing.
She can sing better than I can.
Yeah.
Though most people can.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we find out that she cannot dance.
Yeah. And oh my God, she has got literally three left.
And it's a hilarious comedy. It's a hilarious comedy bit when she trips over his
falls
foot,
in a fountain.
Falls over her big floofy dress. Flies up. She falls over into this fountain, and then this third left foot just flies out underneath.
And then a seagull comes and shits on her.
Hilarious!
Yeah, that's a moment that happens. And yeah, so he's like, where was the eight-eyed woman of... And John Malkovich is like, we do not know. She lives in the woods. And he's like, I must go find this
eight-eyed woman.
Right, we've already established, right, that women with more than two legs... exist. And it's like a normal thing.
It's not far-fetched.
No.
But also, he did see her face. Who was it played by?
I never said.
Kate. You didn't say the eight-eyed woman.
Yeah.
Played by Lisa Kudrow.
Yes. Who's that?
Phoebe from Friends. Kimmy Schmidt's mum.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
classic Kudrow role.
He rides off into the darkness with a flame and on a horse.
And he's just he's intrigued where the other six eyes are.
Yeah. He's just like, he's fascinated.
I can't wait to find out. To be honest.
I know our listeners are on tenterhooks. Literally, I mean, sometimes in the basement we do
hook them up to earphones.
Someone's gonna listen to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not doing it.
No. I can't stand the sound of my own voice.
I can't stand the sound of your voice either.
No.
You asked for that.
Yeah.
He did. He sent me a note.
When you're fishing, sometimes you get a boot.
He sent me a text saying, please, say, in a minute, say.
Please.
Say, I can't stand your voice either.
Please. He rides off through the dark woods, and then suddenly they bump into a wolf. He's knocked over the horse. The horse goes running off somewhere. He's surrounded by wolves. Suddenly, down from the ceiling, from
the
tree,
of the forest.
Yeah, from the canopy of trees comes.
No. He's chased into a cave by these wolves.
Okay.
Right, and it's like this dark, dank cave, and he's got this torch still, and he's like, oh my god, these and these wolves suddenly start going. But there's one big wolf who's venturing in after him.
Yeah.
And he feels like he's about to get eaten.
And then suddenly, this eight-legged hairy woman flies out of a hole in the cave. He looks up and it's Lisa Kudrow with eight eyes, two on her cheeks, one where regular eyes go.
One eye where regular eyes go.
It's
like one half each or what?
One in the back of her head at the other side of the one where the regular eyes go. Two on her forehead and
we don't know where the other two are.
Yeah, no, it's a fucking mystery. She's also got a massive spider body, which wasn't, I mean, it was conveniently covered by the crowd in the earlier scene.
Yeah.
I know.
Which is why he was so surprised when he said that's the most beautiful woman ever. Said, really?
Yeah. I know where the other two are. They're going to come in a Game of Thrones topless scene.
So yeah, he's like, thank you for saving me. What can I call you? And Lisa Kudrow is like, I'm the spider wife.
The spider wife. He calls himself the spider wife.
He's like, are you married? He's like, no.
Not yet.
Just what people called me.
Get out of here. I don't like visitors.
And he's like, but please, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen.
Don't make me laugh. I'm not even the most beautiful woman in this cave.
It's just the skeleton of a dead woman. He's like, please, like, I've come to this town for a wife, and you're the most beautiful, most talented woman I've ever seen.
I've seen you dance upon the webs. I heard you, your singing voice from outside of the cave. It drew me to you.
Take my breath away.
No. No.
And she's got this amazing dress made of her own silk.
Yeah.
And
it worked because then the bouffant, like not bouffant, that's a hairdo. The sort of like cake-looking dress, the massive dresses that they wore in those days,
hides the
abdomen and thorax of this
and the eight legs,
yeah.
Scuttling along, and all these legs are going off underneath. He's like, won't you take my hand? No, he's like, won't you take my hand in marriage, please? Like. Okay, I guess.
Wait, who does this sound like?
I'll be your spider wife.
Okay, I guess.
I know who it sounds like.
I know who it sounds like as well. It's her out of Dirk Gently, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the assassin from Dirk Gently.
She's so good. Go and watch Dirk Gently, everyone.
It's
on Netflix.
Basically, Lisa Kudrow playing the same person.
Yeah.
Almost. I can imagine Assassin Lady from Dirt Gently playing a spider woman.
Yeah, that would work.
But yeah, he's like, okay, I guess I'll marry you. No one's ever given me any attention before.
Where do you live?
He's like, that mansion up there.
Oh, that would make an amazing sight. I've got so many plans for drapes. And carpets and netting,
just webs,
webbing. It. You get a lot of flies around there.
And then, like, there's a giant. Like, she just picks up this giant fly carcass and starts munching down on it. He's like, oh, that's
so hot. He's like fanning himself.
Oh, I do declare.
He says.
Yeah. And so they move back to his mansion.
No, he faints.
He faints.
And wakes up
And his mansion
in bed in his own house
is covered in spider's webs. And he's like, this is a miracle. Let's get married today. And the whole town comes together and marries them. And
I think that the town comes to, like, all the women of the town come to try and set her on fire.
Yeah.
Because they're jealous.
So they team up and kill all the women in the town.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she's got a stinger that's, like, can just knock them out while he just guns them down.
Well, no, that's the thing. He's like, oh, my God, we're surrounded by these villagers with torches and pitchforks. And she's like, don't worry, I will sing-toad them. And she starts singing, and her out of her mouth just crawl thousands and thousands of baby spiders. Scuttling all the way down the house. and then you see like the mayor who's just joined in the gang.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's going, Oh no, I hate spiders.
So I've got an ending for this.
Yeah.
Right, you're not gonna be surprised.
No.
No.
No massive left turn twist, Kate.
No, like, turns out that the spider is actually God.
Well, I was going to go.
She's Arachne, spider god.
They get married and they go to bed like, now we got to consummate the marriage.
So we can spawn thousands and thousands of children.
So yeah, there's a 30 minute sex scene, 30 minute spider.
Where we find out where the other two eyes are.
Yeah. You just use your imagination to figure out where those are. One in her belly button. And then they have sex, and then she just flat out murders him.
She eats him.
Yeah, she just eats him.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, this is the way of my people.
Yeah, that's what we gotta do. And then she gives
birth. I gotta feed the young.
She tells him first.
She gives birth to tons and tons of spider eggs, all with the face of Brendan Fraser on.
Just screaming.
And then we call that
All Star
by Smash Mouth playing.
Yeah.
No.
All Star cover by the Smashing Pumpkins plays.
Is that a thing?
Nope.
No. Is it? Oh.
No.
Sounds like,
I wish
it
did.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna own me. That's yeah. Billy Corgan, lead singer of the Smashing Pumpkins. Thanks, Billy. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
No problem.
So that was Spider Wife.
That was.
I hope everyone enjoyed that.
Not what I was expecting.
Oh my god, if you like that one, tune in for October. It's going to be a blast.
we need to get some horror out of our system.
Yeah, it's
really
been a while since we've done horror.
Yeah. We couldn't wait a year.
We should stop waiting a year.
We hijacked a rom-com film.
It was a great rom-com film. It was rom and kind of com.
Yeah. What was the com? It's the bit of shit. That was it. What? That was the comedy.
The bit where Emma Stone fell in the water. That was the comedy.
She gets shat on.
There's the mayor going, ooh, spiders. There's
hilarious.
There's all his dates that didn't go very well. They're hilarious.
Oh, right. Yeah. I just can't get the spider woman out of it.
And then before that, they have this thing where he's trying to take her out for dates in town, and it doesn't work very well because everyone keeps staring at her. Mm. At her. And she doesn't feel comfortable, and then she storms away, and that's the lowest point, because it's like, oh no, I'll never be with my spider wife in society. But then he comes to terms with the fact that he doesn't need to. He can just live in this webbed up house with her until he dies, which unbeknownst to him isn't going to be very long.
No.
The end.
So yeah, that was Spider Wife. Thanks, Frank, for the title. And thanks for listening, and thanks for Katie for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me, as always.
I haven't laughed this much in an episode for quite a while.
Yeah, went to some really weird places. I'll be honest, I kind of wish we didn't record it in the evening, because I'm going to be... My John Hamm-related dreams are going to be replaced by baby spider Brendan Fraser cross hybrids.
Yeah, we've been pretty giggly today, and it hasn't done us any favours in the kind of like realism department.
No.
Formalist masterpieces.
That's why we pitched the films. Yep. So yeah, until next time, I've been Tom McGrath.
I've been Matt Turner.
I've been Katie Lidster.
And until the world is covered in Brendan Fraser's face
monstrosities
on spider babies going, I'm gonna get you, you better watch out. Remember who pitched it. Bye!